Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Well, Happy New Year. Does that sound a bit ridiculous to be saying? When I'm still trying to get my head around 2020. Anybody think, where on earth did 2021 come from? Is it just me, or is time seeming to speed up? The older I get, it's just me, thanks Mike. The older I get, the quicker time seems to go and pass by. And so this morning, as we launch into a new year, I want to center my thoughts around the importance of time. Time. So my sermon title is, It's Time. That makes sense, doesn't it? Paul in Ephesians 5 and verse 16 says, to redeem the time. Redeem the time. What he is saying is that time is brief and we need to be time conscious in the way that we conduct our lives. Time should factor in. You see, time is a gift given to us by God to be used wisely. Our time is a finite gift. We can't turn the clock back. I've tried. You can't turn the clock back. Everything we do requires the use and investment of time. Once used, we don't get it back. It's gone. So we need to be time conscious in everything. Queen Elizabeth I, on her deathbed, said this, all my possessions for a moment of time. Benjamin Franklin said, do you love life? Then do not squander time, for that is the stuff that life is made of. Time. You know, we only get one shot at this year. We only get one shot at 2021. In Psalm 90 and verse 12, it says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In other words, be conscious of time and use it wisely. Moses, who wrote this, is praying for the wisdom to understand that life is short and every day should be numbered or counted if we are wise. Every day should matter because everything involves time. How many are like me and think there just doesn't seem to be enough time in a day? Yeah, time, you know, the saying goes, time waits for no man. And isn't that true? It just keeps marching on. And perhaps one of the most difficult tasks that we face involves trying to tame time or to use time wisely. You know, as I've reflected on my life, I look back and I can see seasons where I've actually wasted time. I haven't been productive in the use of my time. Time is one of the few commodities given to us equally in that we all have the same 24 hours in a day. But it's how we choose to use those 24 hours. You can use those 24 hours at work. You can spend 16 hours in bed. That sounds amazing. No, it doesn't. I don't like that thought at all. It doesn't sound amazing. But we all have the same 24 hours, and it's what we choose to do with that 24 hours because we all have that same amount of time. So the issue becomes, how do I spend or invest my time? How do I steward my time? Am I a wise steward? Or do I squander the resource of time that has been given to me? Is my time linked as an investment to purpose and faith, or is it drifting by aimlessly or selfishly? That's a big question, isn't it? See, when it comes to example and time as a priority, we need look no further than Jesus. Jesus was the master and the Lord of time. You know, it's easy to think of him as the exception. And to some extent, he was. But he still had to navigate the same 24 hours in a day that we all have. I was thinking about one of Jesus' days. Can you imagine being Jesus for a day? How would I have coped with some of the days that Jesus coped with? You know, when you look at it, he was subject to constant pressure. People wanting this and asking for that with huge expectations. And in many cases, they were driven by prejudice. They were out to trap him. Pursued constantly by friends and enemies alike. Hemmed in by people on every side. Jesus even had somebody come in through the roof to visit him. I've never had that happen, have you? Jesus, like I said, was constantly surrounded by people. His every word was monitored. His every action was analyzed. And his every gesture was commented on. Yet, as I look at the scripture and I look at Jesus' lifestyle, there's three things that I notice. Number one, Jesus was never hurried or appeared to be in a hurry. Oof, that's a big one. So many of us, we spend our days chasing our tail, never knowing what circle we're running in. Jesus was never in a hurry. Number two, Jesus was never late. Some people thought he was, Lazarus and Mary and Martha, but Jesus was never late. Oh boy, if that could be said of some of us. What a testimony that would be. Number three, Jesus was never taken by surprise. You know, some of us live in a constant state of shock and crisis, reacting to circumstances and situations and pressures. Jesus was never like that. You know, as I look at Jesus, he was never taken by surprise. I look at him and he never reacted, but he only ever acted. Imagine living your life that way. Is that possible? I think it is. If we did what Jesus did. So, what did Jesus do? How did he manage to live his life that way? What are the keys that he gave us? And I think there are three things that I just want to look at quickly this morning. Number one, Jesus clearly understood his mission. Jesus knew why he was here and what he was about. Jesus clearly understood his purpose. And so his purpose, he invested his time in achieving his purpose. His time was focused on achieving what he was here to do. He measured his time by his mission and the fulfillment of his mission. Jesus said this in Luke 4, verse 18 and 19. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." His time was measured in proclaiming good news to the poor, on seeing his life anointed.
He said he was sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Friends, that's our mandate as well. It's exactly the same mandate that Jesus has given us in the Great Commission. He says, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus measured his time against his sense of mission. If we don't have a sense of mission, we will waste time. We'll have no focus. We will just do the next thing that's in front of us. But Jesus measured his time by his sense of mission and what he was actually called to do. Is my sense of mission strong enough to measure my time by? You know, God's got a great purpose for every one of us. God has a great destiny for every one of us. He wants to invest something in every one of us, and he's given us the gift of time to see it accomplished in our days. You know, just looking at one example of how Jesus did that, we see in Luke chapter 18, verse 35 to 43, and it says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard the crowd passing by, he asked what was happening. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. Jesus had time. He stopped and he ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. You see, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of the Passover. This was one of, if not the most important event in the Jewish calendar. And so Jesus was on his way to celebrate the Passover. You were not late for the Passover. Not only that, but Jesus knew that he was going to Jerusalem to his death. That was firmly fixed in his sights. The time of his crucifixion was crucial to all of history. And yet, he had time for a blind man sitting by the roadside. You know, this man, he started to call out, and it says those who led the way rebuked the blind man and told him to keep quiet. I wonder if that was the disciples. I wonder who it was. But they rebuked the man and told him to keep quiet. And Jesus said, hey, wait. And he stopped. Bring him here. Because this is about mission. This is what I'm called to do. There's a man who's calling to me who's in need. There's a man who can't see. And I have the answer. Bring him to me. And Jesus healed him because it was about mission, not about time. He had time because it was a part of his mission. You know, God has got people waiting for us when we're on mission. People who are saying, hey, have you got a moment to see who I see, to look at who I'm looking at, to engage with who I want to engage with? See, we're called to measure our time against that exact same mission. Lost people found. Encountering people, encountering the kingdom of God, and disciples made. You see, we're called to see the kingdom come. The kingdom, by definition, when it comes, is the place of God's presence. It's the place of his power. It's the place of his purpose. And so whether you're at work, whether you're at the gym, whether you're talking to your neighbors, whatever you're doing, it can be about mission, because we are called to see the kingdom of God come wherever we are. We're called. You know, where the kingdom of God is, there is no sickness. Where the kingdom of God is manifest, there is no sorrow. Where the kingdom of God is manifest, there is no loneliness. Where the kingdom of God is manifest, people encounter the heart and the love of God. And so that's what we're called. That's our mission, to bring the kingdom of God wherever we are, whatever we're doing. It's not about just turning up at work. It's having a sense of mission that helps us to use our time to see the kingdom come. See, our heavenly reward will have nothing to do with our possessions or our education or our employment. Those things are all important. But when there's a sense of mission, they're just vehicles to see the kingdom come, to invest our time in doing what God wants done. Whatever we're doing, it can all count if we have a clear sense and commitment to mission. So in your plans for 2021, is your time measured by a clear sense of mission? Hey, it's gone very quiet. Is this okay? I'll stop now if you like. It's so important, isn't it? Time. What we do with the time that God gives us. The second thing I notice about Jesus is that Jesus' time priority was always centered around people and relationship rather than things and activity. It was always centered around people. He invested strongly in relationships with his time. You know, one of the things that, I don't know if it's a privilege or not, but, you know, doing a lot of traveling and going to a lot of developing countries, one of the things that constantly strikes me in the face is how well they do community and relationships, and how poorly we in the Western world do. I was in Myanmar. That is a country that has been oppressed under military regime, where the people are so poor. You know, you try and buy petrol, you know, that you're allowed literally 4 litres of petrol a week. 2 o'clock in the morning, we're down some alleyway with some, talking to this old lady, pouring petrol out of a teapot because we didn't have enough petrol. They're so poor. And yet, you know, they are so rich in their relationships. Every day after work, they spend 3 hours sitting in these tea shops, talking, relating, caring, doing community. You go to Eastern Europe in poor countries, and once the sun's down and people have eaten, everybody comes out and they start to promenade up and down the main street, where they talk and they interact and they share and they connect as a community. People care about people and relationships because they don't have the other things that we have that take so much of our time, that waste so much of our time, because they're focused on relationship. And you see the beauty and the richness of their society because they care about people. You know, our time should be measured by the quality of our relationships. Ouch. Our time should be measured by the quality of our... Jesus obviously related well to his family, but he invested so much time in others and discipling others and caring about others. You see, the relationships require the use and the investment of time. You cannot have a good relationship without giving it time. Jesus designed our growth and effectiveness to be experienced in the context of relationship. Discipleship cannot happen outside the context of relationships. I hear so many people these days saying, oh, I don't go to church. I just do my own thing at home. I love Jesus. Well, good on you. But you know, the truth is you're not doing it God's way. And you're not going to grow because Jesus orchestrated and set it out that we grow in relationship with people. People rubbing off on us, us rubbing off on people, us being challenged and encouraged and built by other people, and us investing time in giving to others and giving them a leg up and giving them a help. You don't grow outside the context of relationship. All the fruit of the Spirit is manifest in relationship. How do you know you love if you're not in a relationship where you're demonstrating love? Jesus was all about investing in relationship. He invested so much time in his disciples and the people in his world. You know, in Luke 19, Jesus saw Zacchaeus in the tree and had time to engage in his world and go to his place for dinner. Nobody else wanted to know this man. Nobody else wanted to see him. But Jesus saw him and had time and said, I'm going to your place for dinner. If you don't have time, you're not going to do dinner. He had time. And what a difference he made in that man's world. He brought the kingdom. And things in that man's life changed. Everything changed because Jesus invested his time. You know, that's why connect groups are so important. Interacting with people who can add to our lives and we can add to theirs. I love our connect groups. We lead a leaders connect and we also attend another connect group. And I love our connect groups, such diverse people. Yet each one of them with the ability to encourage, to support, to challenge me. And hopefully I can do the same for them. You know, connect groups are never supposed to be about all about me. I hear people say, oh, I just can't find one that suits. Well, get over it. It's not about you. You should be there to invest in others. And when you invest in others, you'll find something comes back. You know, so often, you know that, I'm going to tread on some toes. You know the reason why a lot of people don't want connect groups? Because we're afraid of vulnerability. But you're never going to grow until you become vulnerable. It's a requirement. You can hide behind your issues. You can hide behind your habits. You can hide behind your problems and you ain't going to grow. You will fight them alone and wonder why you're not winning. It's when we take the time to be vulnerable, to share, to love, to care, that we allow God to get in and do what only He can do with people who are going to walk with us and care for us and journey with us. Yeah, we in one of the connects that we attend, there's a young man who, I love this young man. He's about 30 years old and he joined our connect and he sat for the first week really quiet, just watching and listening. And we just loved on him. And the next week that he, next fortnight where he came, he began to share his whole story. He said, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I feel safe. I've never shared my story with others before. And he told us how 2 years earlier he came out of Teen Challenge with a major drug challenge. And he came and he'd been spasmodically attending a big church. And he said, I used to get there late and I used to leave early because I just couldn't trust people. And the second time he came, he told us his whole story. And we were able to encourage him. You know, Every week he comes now. Is this true? He's sharing about how God's at work in his life, how his relationships with his family, which were so prickly, are changing. How his attitudes towards his parents are changing. How his attitude at work is changing. How his relationship with his boss is changing. How his work habits are changing. How now he can't volunteer enough. He can't wait to get to Connect Group. I love that young man. He inspires me and he challenges me. And I see such potential in him that he doesn't quite see yet. But God does. See, it happens in the context. You know, I understand most of us are time challenged with the stuff that goes on in our world. I get that. But how much priority do I place on the time needed to invest in relationships with others? Relationships that are going to grow me and grow others. See, Jesus measured his time by the quality of the relationships he built. And finally, is this okay? The third thing that I see as I look at Jesus, when it came to time, Jesus understood his limits. And you know, that can be applied in a whole lot of ways. You know, it's easy to think that Jesus didn't have any limits. But gee, you've got to be pretty tired to be asleep in the back of a boat in the middle of a storm. Well, me anyway. I don't think it's an easy place to sleep. You know, the Bible says that he took his disciples aside to rest. But perhaps one of the biggest things that I see Jesus disciplining himself towards when it came to time is an area where I thought he would have needed at least. But he put such a priority, and that was spending time with his Father. Jesus had spent eternity with his Father. You'd think, gee, if you know, you can get by. Jesus had an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. He was at one with the Holy Spirit. And yet he made a priority of his time to spend with God. He understood that if he was going to get through and fulfill mission and build relationships, then it came out of his relationship with his Father. And the only way he could have a relationship with his Father was investing time. We're never going to understand the mission. We're never going to build proper relationships unless we love with the heart of God and we're connected to the heart of God. We see what God sees. We understand where he's at. That takes time. We wonder why we don't fully comprehend the mission for our lives when a devotional life is a 3-minute prayer in the car on the way to work. I'm not knocking that, but you ain't going to get too much out of that. Because God wants to speak to us. Jesus was constant. He said, I only do and say the things that I see and hear my Father doing and saying. It takes time to listen. It takes time to hear. And Jesus, boy, if he needed it, how much more me? How much more the necessity of spending time to gather inner strength and resolve to compensate for my inherent weaknesses? How much more do we need it to allow God to speak to us, to minister to us, to change us from the inside? You know, this is what I found, that if I find myself without time for others, then inevitably I'm not spending enough time with God. Amen. Make time for Jesus. I think that's what Paul actually meant when he said redeem the time. Connect with the Father. Time and the way we spend it is such a challenge. It's one that we all grapple with. But it's so important in the fruitfulness and the outcomes of 2021. What do you want to see accomplished? How are you going to invest your time? And what faith are you going to invest in that with the time that God has given us? What are we going to do that's going to make 2021 a year that stands out for the glory of God, where His purposes are fulfilled? And whatever happens in this crazy world, you don't have to watch every news bulletin to wonder what the future is. When we spend time with Him and we're about mission, it doesn't actually matter, because we're investing the time that we've been given in seeing the kingdom come, God's purposes fulfilled, and fruitfulness in our lives. You see, the children of Israel lost their vision and they wasted 40 years wandering in the desert. They accomplished nothing for them, for their children, or for the generations to come. They lost their sense of mission. And yet a young man rises up. We read that when Moses was in the tent praying, Joshua would go. And when Moses left, Joshua would stay. He was a young man that God gave a vision to. And so he wasn't afraid of the giants. He wasn't afraid of a swollen river. Nothing stopped him from accomplishing the purpose of God and the mission of God. And we live in the fruitfulness of that today, because he was a young man that used his time to accomplish the purposes of God in his time. See, time is a gift given to us by God, a priceless gift which, invested wisely, will bring eternal rewards and the fullness of a life designed by God to satisfy every need. Amen? I want to just shift gears for a second. I don't know everybody here. I don't know how your 2020 was. I don't know the struggles that you face. But what I do know is that when you do it with Jesus, it's a whole different ballgame. You know, you can spend so much time trying to control things, trying to control outcomes, trying to change things. Well, how successful have you been to this point? Because there's only one who can truly change us. That's because he changes us from the inside. He does something inside that changes our heart, that changes our priority, that gives us hope, that gives us a future, that gives us a sense of purpose in our lives. And his name is Jesus. He gave his time here on earth in order that we can be connected to him and to the Father. Our wrongdoing separates us from God. People say, where is God? Why can't I see God? Well, you can't see him through the fog of your own wrongdoing, because God won't associate with that. But he sent Jesus to fulfill justice, to say, hey, I can deal with that, and I can make you clean. I can make you whole, so that then you can be connected into a real relationship with Jesus and with the Father. And it's then, when we begin to get that eternal perspective, that life starts to make sense. We realize we're never supposed to be in control, because the truth is we can control nothing. But we can put our faith and trust in the one who is in control, who knows the outcome of your life and my life and what he's doing. So while every head is bowed, if you don't know the Lord Jesus this morning, I don't want to embarrass you, but I want to give you an opportunity I'm going to pray a prayer. If you don't know Jesus, but you want to be included in this prayer, it's a prayer where we pray and say, I just want to humble myself. Say, God, will you become a part of my life? Will you forgive me? And help me to be who you created me to be. And if that's your sentiment this morning, you might not understand it all, but you know that inside you're looking for life and for hope, for peace and a fresh start. That religion doesn't give that, but relationship with Jesus. So if that's you this morning, just while every head is bowed, just give me a quick wave so I can see your hand and then put it down. And I'm going to include you in a prayer that I prayed this morning, inviting him to come and be Lord of your life. Somebody this morning, maybe you've walked with God, but you know you haven't really in this last season. You know that it's time to go, God, I need to give you place, Lordship in my life again. I'll include you in that prayer too if you just want to slip up your hand. Slip it down. All right, I can't see any hands. I'm more than happy to talk to anyone afterwards if you have questions. I'd love to do that. But let me just talk now quickly to all of us. And I'm speaking to you as much as I'm speaking to myself this morning. But how will you steward and invest your time this year? I know life is full and we have responsibilities and we all understand that. But will there be a conscious time investment linked to purpose and faith? Do you need to be saying, God, show me this year. God, help me this year to not have my faith all over the place but anchored and strong in the purpose you have. You know, I have found that God can do more in 3 minutes than I can do in 3 years. He can give me more in 2 minutes than I can work for in 2 years when I give myself to Him. So does mission and faith need more attention in your time commitment? Secondly, will the quality of my time invested be reflected in my relationships and discipleship? Maybe that's an area where you're saying, God, I just need a bit of help. And I need to make some time adjustments. Maybe you need to join a connect group. Stop arguing, making excuses. Thirdly, do I need to reprioritize my time commitment to prayer and knowing God? If Jesus needed it, then I certainly do, and so do you. Growth requires us to know Him more. Do you and I need to ask for God's help in making more time to encounter Him? For God to stir a fresh hunger, a fresh delight without Him. Christianity is just a religion.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.